Revelation 21, verse 1 to 7. It's page 1249 in the red Bibles in the pew, if you'd like to follow that.
The New Jerusalem. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain. For the old order of things has passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." He said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of water of life. He who overcomes will inherit all this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Tony. Just a few short thoughts on that passage. Jesus spoke of resurrection life for his followers based on his own resurrection, which he foretold before it happened, though his disciples don't appear to have grasped what he really meant. But more than that, Jesus also spoke of a new creation in which his resurrected people would participate. And when Jesus returns, as he says he will, resurrection life will not be in some disembodied form, in some ethereal place in the clouds, with harps and singing. But what Jesus speaks of is a new age, an age to come, with new life for his people, in a new creation, where people are people and recognisably so. Jesus says there's no marriage there, but the parables he told clearly indicate interrelationship with one another in the place that he has prepared for us. So we'll know one another and we'll share in relationship with one another and with him. And what John describes in that passage we just read is a visionary experience. This new creation which he sees, and he describes it in this picture of language. Then he says, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away." So it will be different from the current state of things in a number of critical respects. First, you may have noticed, he says there'll be no longer any sea. But when he says that, he's not talking about luxurious, lovely beaches with waving palm trees and the like. What he's talking about is the cruel and tempestuous sea, which is always a picture in the Bible of chaos and disorder, of things going wrong. And in the creation story you recall in Genesis, the Spirit of God moves on the face of the waters to bring order out of chaos in that first creation. That this new creation will be perfectly ordered. And then in that marvellous verse 4, he says, "There will be no death, no mourning, no crying, no pain, because the old order has passed away." And that's the old order that we're familiar with in this life here and now. It's the one described in Genesis as spoiled by mankind's rebellion against God. Trouble, pain, grief, death. When mankind determined to take its own course, rather than subjecting itself to God, we brought on ourselves the pain of earning a living by the sweat of the brow in face of hardship and obstacles, the bearing of children in labour pangs, and the consequences that come from individuals living for themselves. Self at the centre, God pushed out, others coming second. And relationship with God and with one another are marred by that failure, are they not? And we see it all too obviously around about us. And then in verse 2 we see this description of a city, a new Jerusalem. Jerusalem, the word Salem means peace, salam, it's the same in Arabic as it is in Hebrew, shalom. A city of peace, it's a beautiful and unspoiled place. And he describes it like a virginal bride in her bridal garments. Beautiful, peaceful, as it should be. So why is it so perfect? Well, because we see in verse 3 that God is there, living with his people in harmony with him. They will be his people, and he will be their God, so it says. So he'll wipe away every tear from their eyes. None of that is part of the new order that is going to be in place. Well, the one who sits on the throne describes himself here as the Alpha and the Omega. He said to me, "It's done, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end." They, of course, are the first and last letters of the Greek alphabet. And so what is being said is he's the beginning and the end of everything. All things. He's in control of the destiny of this creation and of his followers, and we can be confident that what he says he will do. The one who created all things allowed us to mess it up and spoil it and our own lives will put it all to rights. And then we get this in verse 7. He says he can put it right for us in the here and now as well as in the age to come. To him who's thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. Do you see what's being said? He says, if you want this new life, if you want this renewal, not just in the resurrected life in the age to come, but beginning now in this flawed and spoiled creation order, if you're thirsty, look to the God who's the beginning and end of all things and seek living water. Seek refreshment for the soul, for the inner being, for your very being in him. And what he then says in verse 7 is that such people who seek him will inherit a place in this beautiful city of God. It's those who overcome who will inherit all this. I will be his God and he will be my son, he says. And that's something that starts in the here and now as we live a new life, which his spirit gives us in the present first order, and which will continue in the age to come, along with all those who've gone before us. In one of Paul's letters, he reminds us that when Jesus comes again, those who've already died will be raised first, and those who remain alive at the time of his coming will then be raised and will be together with the Lord. And so, he says, we will be with the Lord forever. And he concludes by saying, what I want to say to you now, encourage one another with these words.